Hi, and welcome to episode 45 of our Theme Parks and Recs podcast. We're Chad and Christy Thomas, husband and wife, and morning show at B98.7 in Tampa Bay, and theme park aficionados, as we have ventured not only through all of the theme parks here in Florida hundreds and hundreds of times, but across the globe as well. We've been to the Disney parks in Japan and France. We have been all over the place. So we always try to bring you the latest happenings, the insider tips, the rumors, the things that you all want to know about. And there's a lot to cover on this episode. We have new happenings at Busch Gardens here in Tampa Bay. That's going to be this fall. We've got the latest on Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios, and some other rumors to go along with that, plus a new type of Florida resident pass that was just introduced this week over at Walt Disney World. And I've checked in with a lot of friends who have been over to experience Toy Story Land at Hollywood Studios, and they all brought up something very interesting, and I think I have a theory about this.
Okay.
So we're going to cover all of that on this episode. First, let's start here in Tampa, since we are a Tampa morning show, and talk about Busch Gardens. Right now, they are having summer nights. We were over for a broadcast last Friday. They're staying open late and doing the fireworks on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, and this goes through early August. And that's included in the price of admission. So if you have the fun card or an annual pass, you can just stay late and ride the rides in the dark and all of that. But what's going to happen then after summer nights? Because Busch Gardens is definitely tapping into the whole festival thing and really tapping into, in my opinion, someone who's been going to Busch Gardens since I was a child. I'm not going to say how long ago that was, but it was a while ago. Into the whole nostalgia thing, because at summer nights, they've reopened their hospitality house, where when you used to go to Busch Gardens 10, 15, 20 years ago, you would be able to get free beer samples.
Right.
They stopped doing it. Now they're doing it again, but only during summer nights. So then what happens this fall is Busch Gardens is ready for Beer Fest. This is August 25th through September 16th. And this is what it says on Busch Gardens' website. More than 200 years of Oktoberfest traditions come to life at Busch Gardens Tampa Bay's all-new Beer Fest. Raise your stein to toast the end of summer and enjoy a variety of beers from across the globe, including your favorite local breweries on Saturdays and Sundays from August 25th through September 16th. The four-weekend festival will feature a great selection of worldly brews, traditional German cuisine, and festive music. Remember Das Festhaus?
No, you cannot wear your Lederhosen, Chad.
Before it was called Desert Grill, which is the big restaurant in Pantopia, otherwise known as Let's Get Out of the Heat into the Air Conditioning Building. It used to be Das Festhaus, and it used to be German food and like a German show that would go on with the band and everything. And when they stopped doing it, those of us that really enjoyed that, which sometimes we would go, how does this really fit in a theme park based on like animals from Africa that you have the German Oompa-pa show happening? But you know what? Sometimes if you just stopped thinking about it and just enjoyed it, it was awesome.
Embrace.
So here they are now tapping once again, I think, into the nostalgia of people like me to bring 4 weeks of this German festival. So I love it. I even think it would be great. Again, Busch Gardens, I'm going to give you another suggestion. I gave you one for summer nights. Cricket sound effects. I think they should put up a temporary name, a sign, and rename Desert Grill back to Das Festhaus. Just for this 4 weeks. So,
do you want t-shirts to go along with that?
I would love t-shirts and hats as well. Yes, I would buy one. I would buy a nostalgic Das Festhaus shirt for sure. All right, so that's what's happening at Busch Gardens here over the next month or so. And then right after that, bam, it's like Halloween Horror Nights time at Universal Studios. They have announced the dates for it, which you may already have like locked in your phone if you're somebody that likes to go every single year. September 14th is when they are doing the first one, and it goes through November the 3rd. This year, they will have a record 10 houses.
Wow.
At Halloween Horror Nights. Now, according to my calculations, I only have 8 so far. I've done a Google search to try to find all of the houses that they're doing, and I can only come up with 8 of 10. So that still leaves 2 to be announced. So I'm still holding out hope that there will be an It house. But you would think if there was going to be, it would have been announced by now because that would be such a huge draw. But obviously Stranger Things is the big house this year that's going to have the longest line. So if you're going to be going over to Halloween Horror Nights, I would definitely recommend getting the front of the line pass.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going with friends and you don't mind standing in the line and just soaking it all in and having fun and all of that. But if you want to try to get through every single one of the houses, especially this year with there being 10, I recommend the front of the line pass. Or if you're an annual pass holder, be in the park because they have special holding zones. Last year we went and we were over by the Simpsons area of Universal Studios. And because we were pass holders and already in the park, they said, you guys can just hang out here and we didn't have to exit. Mm-hmm. So then about 6 o'clock, and you know, Halloween Horror Nights doesn't start till 7, but around 6 o'clock, they said, listen, we're going to have the first two houses ready to go here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to go ahead and let you guys go. So before everybody else even got in the park at 7 o'clock, we had already done the first two houses.
Right.
So highly, highly recommend that tip with Halloween Horror Nights.
Well, and there are a few other special events that you can do, special tours that you can do. They have one tour called the RIP tour, and then there's also the private RIP tour. Now, these require the separate event admission. There's also a daytime tour. So maybe you don't feel like you can handle the scary nighttime tour while the event's going on. You can do a behind the screams, they call it, unmasking the horror tour. And then there also is a special dining experience, the Scarector dining experience.
There are a lot of these behind the scenes tours and special dining events that so many people, even people that have lived here for a long time and been pass holders, don't realize are there. We have a friend who was a host last year of one of those RIP tours. And she loved it. She said it was so great because a lot of times you're also giving these behind the scenes tours and private tours from people that are from out of the country. And so she said it was a real kind of global experience and getting to understand Halloween traditions outside of the U.S. as opposed to what they are here in the U.S. Now, the big announcement this week was the two new scare zones that they are going to have at Halloween Horror Nights. If you haven't heard about these yet, there's going to be Revenge of Chucky. So it's not only going to be just Chucky, but this particular scare zone is going to be featuring all of our favorite twisted childhood toys from the past.
Uh-oh.
Including the world's deadliest doll, Chucky. And then there's also the Killer Clowns from Outer Space scare zone.
That's Chad's favorite, when clowns chase him.
As soon as they announce where in the park that is going to be located, I will take the long route and go around this particular one. But a lot of people love the scare zones as much as they love the houses themselves.
Right. It keeps you in the moment.
So as soon as we find out all 10 of the haunted houses at Halloween Horror Nights, we will make sure to bring you that information first here on our Theme Parks and Recs podcast. All right, so on to just down the road at Walt Disney World and the big event that is happening there, and that, of course, is Toy Story Land. We have not yet been over to experience ourselves. We are going next weekend, but I have a lot of friends who are annual pass holders that live in Orlando that have gone over many times. I have a lot of friends that are cast members. That's what they call the employees at Walt Disney World who have gone. And one in particular that said, you know, while I was waiting in line to ride the Slinky Dog coaster, which that line right now, as we know, can be hours long, they said, as a cast member, I was listening to what other people were saying about Toy Story Land and kind of jotting notes down in my phone. And I thought, well, this could be really good. So I said, what are some of the things that you're hearing about it? And he says, well, a lot of people, of course, saying it's smaller than they expected.
Mm-hmm. But they, people said the same thing about Pandora when Pandora was unveiled last year.
But keep in mind, the area where this is located, which is right behind where Toy Story Mania is, before then was basically just a soundstage.
Right.
And we'd actually been inside that soundstage and done a couple of broadcasts from there, and not very big. So that area was small. Number two, it's supposed to look like Andy's backyard.
Right.
So even though, you know, everything is bigger and you're supposed to feel like you've been shrunk down, Andy did not have a gigantic backyard if you've seen the Toy Story movies. So that getting into the mind of an Imagineer makes sense.
Yep.
They said a couple of other things that they heard from people were there are not a lot of places to sit. And I have a theory about that. And someone said, why don't they have an indoor sit down restaurant here? And I have a theory about that as well. Number one, when you have a big, gigantic indoor sit down restaurant in the middle of summer in Florida, what do people do?
Congregate and stay.
Toy Story Land, already small, high demand. The weekend it opened, it was like a 2 to 3 hour wait outside just to get in Toy Story Land. You don't really want people getting in there and congregating. You want them to get in, ride the couple of rides, take some pictures, exit, so that it gets more people into that land. So I definitely think that it was intentional, and again, not just because of space, that's why they don't have an indoor sit-down restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they also don't have any indoor gift shops. Huh. And I think it's for the same reason. If it's a cart, if it's a kiosk, you can see from a distance what they have. If you're really into Toy Story, you grab, you go. Indoor gift shops.
You browse.
You browse and you're like, oh, it feels so good in here. Let's just stand in here for a few minutes. It's not to say that maybe down the road there might be plans to expand and put in an indoor sit-down restaurant, because I still think it would be cool if that's where Pizza Planet would be. And I know there used to be one. They changed it to Rizzo's, you know, the character from The Muppet Show.
Right.
And kept it over next to the Muppet 3D movie, but it sure would be great to actually have Pizza Planet mm-hmm. in Toy Story Land. So maybe that'll happen down the road once the crowds die down just a little bit.
Well, and I want to go back and address something that you brought up a few minutes ago that people were talking about, and that is the wait in the line for the Slinky Dog Dash. Obviously, when you go to any theme park, but over at Disney World, you are going to expect that you are going to wait in lines, even if you have a fast pass that gets you further into the line, you're still going to have a wait. They have come up with a way to kind of help pass the time and also make an interactive experience with you that is a themed interactive experience. And that is a new app that they created called the Play Disney Parks app. It's been up and running for a couple weeks now. And case in point, when you are in line for the Slinky Dog Dash, there's an interactive game called Andy's Board Game Blast that you can play on your phone while you're waiting.
So is it only, and so can you only play that game if you're in line for that particular ride, or do you just have to unlock it there, but then you have access to it in other places?
Well, it says, I haven't played a game yet because I haven't been over to the parks since I've downloaded the app. But it does unlock the games. I don't know if you can continue to play them elsewhere, but yes, they get unlocked when you go to certain attractions, like over at Peter Pan's Flight. There's a game called Off to Neverland. If you're doing Toy Story Mania, they have Playset Party. Also over in the Magic Kingdom, Space Mountain, there's the Rocket Race. So there are a whole bunch of things. And Disney teases us and says, this is just the beginning. Wait for it when Star Wars Galaxy Edge opens.
I've seen so many memes about that where people have taken like a screenshot of Pandora with that wait time and then taken a screenshot of Toy Story Land with that wait time and then like a picture of Luke Skywalker saying, wait for it or hold my beer or you ain't seen nothing yet or whatever. Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to be so massive next year when that opens.
They do plan to have some pretty cool things on that new Play Disney Parks app. And by the way, the app is free to download, but they do say, oh, you know what? The message data and roaming rates apply, as with other things, but they have to say it out loud.
So. All right, so we're going to wrap up episode 45 of our Theme Parks and Recs podcast by talking about a new type of annual pass that you can get as a Florida resident to Walt Disney World. They just announced this, and they went on sale this week on July the 9th, so it is July 12th when we're doing this podcast, so it's only been just a couple of days since they've been on sale. And there's going to be some people that complain about this because there are just some people that complain about everything, as we know. But it's just an option, and they're trying to make as many options as possible. This particular pass is called the Florida Resident Theme Park Select Pass. It is $439, yet another option for Florida residents who are looking for access to at least one theme park during most times of the year. there are more blackout dates, as you would expect, even certain days. Like, for example, with this pass, you are not allowed to go to Magic Kingdom on Saturdays.
Oh, okay.
Because we all know if you've tried to go to the Magic Kingdom on a Saturday,
yeah,
it's busy.
This isn't really a new concept, though, for Disney, because in California, they have a Southern California resident pass that's cheaper than the regular annual passes and stuff where you go in during the weekdays as well.
Some of the others with this special Florida resident theme park select pass, you're not allowed to go on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays during the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. So what they say is it includes at least 325 days of access at select theme parks and at least 175 days of access to all four. So, I mean, you're going to be able to get into all four parks at least half of the year and at least one of the parks virtually every single day. So it is yet another good option and a couple of $100 less than the next tier for annual passes. So again, this is called the Florida Resident Theme Park Select Pass. And as pass holders for well over 20 years over at Walt Disney World, we can't say how great it is for the discounts that you get at a lot of the restaurants, at the gift shops. There are a lot of perks for sure by being a Florida resident. Resort rates at different times during the year, you get great rates there too. So now we would love to hear your ideas, your suggestions, your tips, the rumors that you have heard. If you want to connect with us, we're on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at B987FM. And you can email me, Chad, C-H-A-D-D, at B987FM.com or Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I, at B987FM.com. Thanks so much for streaming or downloading episode 45 of our Theme Parks and Recs podcast, and we will catch you again next time.